Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the public hearing, but that does not start until 7 o'clock. So at this moment, we've now come to the place on our agenda where members of the public may address the school board on any topic. Please come to the podium and give your name for the benefit of our minutes. The time limit for any one speaker is 5 minutes, and the time limit for any one topic is 20 minutes. No person less than 18 years of age may address the board unless accompanied by his or her parent, guardian, or teacher, except with unanimous consent of the board. I believe we have 8 people, so that means that we will probably have 2 speakers, and then we'll adjourn for the public hearing on the budget, and then we'll, when that's concluded, we'll pick up the rest of the public comment period. The first speaker this evening is Tammy Lott.
John is very personable. Mr. Wetterauer is a very personable person. He's good with the kids on the playground, but that doesn't make him the kind of principal we need him to be. As I listened to those comments by Mr. Dolinsky being replayed in the Robinson Markley show, I thought, if that's the way our top administrators speak of our principals on a public radio show, can you imagine how they speak of them behind closed doors? Well, sadly, we do. And I think the radio host summed it up with these responses. So does he mean like a monitor? Like someone to show the kids how to go down the slide? It's a blue ribbon school for years. Are you kidding me? Those comments were disrespectful and condescending. Mr. Dolinsky went on to say that it all fell back to the lack of leadership in his building, which is interesting because this year Illinois launched the Survey of Learning Conditions, the first ever statewide survey of all teachers in 6th through 12th grades that solicited feedback on various characteristics of the school environment. The 5 Essential Survey, developed to measure school climate in 5 key areas, we used to conduct research-based analysis of the learning conditions of each school. More than 20 years of research in Chicago public schools has shown that schools strong in a majority of the essentials were significantly more likely to improve student and school outcomes. For this analysis, questions 14 and 15 were related to the principals of schools, were used to rank the schools based on responses of the teachers. Each of those questions included a total of 15 questions. As evident, Charter Oak School principal, Mr. John Wetterauer, was ranked number 1 in each and every question. Mr. Wetterauer had the confidence of his staff, was an effective leader who placed the needs of the children above his own personal and political interests. It is appalling and reprehensible that a superintendent and school board would recommend the removal of such a principal based on the fact that he trained the staff a mere 10 minutes less than what is recommended by the superintendent. Is this Charter Oak specific? No. Unfortunately, Charter Oak is just one of many and will probably not be the last. Because of the superintendent and each member of the Peoria School District 150 Board of Education, this district has lost an incredible leader, a principal who genuinely cared about the children, and a man who created an amazing learning environment full of respect and kindness. And when this administration states that these issues and the shuffling don't affect the students, it insults my intelligence. I know of approximately 450 students who have had a year of upheaval and loss and are no longer attending the school that they signed on for. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Deffenbaugh.
We've had a lot go on this year regarding Charter Oak. As Tammy just talked to you, we've been here many, many times in front of the horseshoe, in front of all of you, regarding this year, the chaos that was created by this board and this administration. You listen, but you don't hear us. Leadership. You said that John was not a leader. I would like to know what your definition of leader is, because if it is Dr. Lathan's leadership, there is a lot to be questioned. I'm brought to the points of 10 traits that we like to find in a leader. Do what you say you're going to do always. Acknowledge authentically what you don't know. Be accountable and take responsibility. Do not blame others. Listen deeply and wait for people to finish when they are speaking. Be present always in the company of others. Know that all people are equal and have a contribution to make. Create an environment where everyone can contribute. And always talk as a team and act as a coach. Have a deep sense of appreciation and thank people regularly. Lead by example and do the work, persist and encourage others. Sadly, this is the leadership that we do not see at the helm in District 150. These are the traits that we hate most about poor leaders. You can't trust them, you don't believe in what they say, and they don't do what they say they will. They think they know everything, and they're happy to tell anyone that they know it all. They blame people or circumstances when things don't go well. They don't listen, and they talk over people. They are not present or focused. They think they have the right to check their smartphone anytime, even in board meetings or presentations. They put people down, and they attack the man rather than reviewing the argument or the action. They believe it's my way or the highway, never allowing others to contribute others' ideas, and they are divisive and mean-spirited, setting people against each other. They rarely show thanks or appreciation, and they avoid doing the work and look for the easiest option. Ladies and gentlemen, we need change in District 150. I'm tired of all of the rhetoric that goes on here about how wonderful District 150 is doing, because we're not. You need to look at our schools. You need to look at the children that were graduating from these schools. There are children being moved on to the next grade level that cannot read and cannot write. I don't care how good of a basketball player they are or how great they run track, but if they cannot read and write, where are they going to be later on down the road? We have an innate responsibility to these children, and coming here before you every single month to speak to you I take time out of my own personal life, away from my own family, because it's something that I believe in. It's something that is at the core of everything that I know as a person. Education is where it's at, and this country is failing, let alone this district. We need to come together. We need to come together as a team, because together everyone achieves more. I really hope that something will change and change quickly. But I believe that Dr. Lathan needs to resign.
Thank you. We have 2 minutes until the budget hearing, so that's really insufficient time to have another speaker. So what do we have? We have 1 minute left here. Sure, we could do that. First of all, let me recognize our newest person around the horseshoe, Mark Wilcoxon, who is now the controller, treasurer, and soon to be CFO. And if you could, since we're going into a budget hearing, just comment briefly on the purpose of the budget hearing at this moment. Knowing that I didn't tell you I was going to ask you that. But I'm sure you can deal with that.
Well, first let me thank the board for hiring me and allowing me to come to Peoria. I'm looking forward. I know there's lots of challenges ahead of us, and I'm looking forward to being part of the solution. The budget hearing is the process that's spelled out in the Illinois School Code. At the board's May 12th meeting, an amended budget was presented to the board. The proposed amendment was then made available for public comment. Also, per terms of the Illinois School Code, it was published in the newspaper. It was made available on the district website, and it was made available at the front office. And I actually checked the university or the district website to make sure it was there and you could easily find it, and it was. To my knowledge, no public comments were received. It's now requested that the board have this hearing and approve the budget amendment that's dated May 9th, 2014, is presented to the board. And if approved, the amended budget then will be filed with the Regional Office of Education.
Thank you. I believe then a motion is ordered to open the public hearing. Could I have a motion to that effect, please?
So moved. Second.
Thank you. Would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Holtmeyer?
Aye.
Mrs. Kostick?
Aye.
Mrs. Butler?
Aye.
Ms. McDowell?
Aye.
Mrs. Ross?
Aye.
Mr. Floyd?
Aye.
Mr. Crawford?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Thank you. The, at this point, there's an opportunity for those who are interested to address the board on the subject of the amended budget. If there are those who wish to do so, please come to the podium. Mr. Knapp.
Yes, Terry Knapp, 922 West Wilshire Drive, Peoria, Illinois. I took the liberty to give you an addition to the Charter Oak legal fees, and I think this is important because I think we should do something in our budget about legal. We should hire our own attorneys, we should move on, or we should hire local attorneys. The nearly $1 million that we spent on attorneys this year would be recycled in Peoria rather than in the Chicago suburbs. On this particular sheet, I draw attention, for example, to this middle section here. It's a little bit darker. And what it shows is $181 round trip fees for attorneys. I think that should be removed from the budget. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing. Down at the bottom, a consulting fee of $3,500 on one day. For what? $3,500 in one day at 10 hours a day would be $350 per hour. I don't understand why we pay our attorneys that astronomical fee, if you will. Also, in these fees, you'll find a meal, for example, charged by one of the attorneys for $62 for lunch. $62 for lunch? I don't know where in Peoria you can eat lunch for $62. Again, attorney's fees have got to be addressed in this budget. Besides that, busing, students busing. I think we are busing probably an all-time high number of students. It's ridiculous that we don't return to neighborhood schools and reduce the amount of busing. There is no way that you can show me or anybody else in this community that busing improves education. The students that ride the buses, I think if you were to study that, you'd find that they're actually, their grades go down because of the hour or half hour they're on the bus each way. That again, is an expense that simply is going through the roof. And we need to address that in our budget. Recently, we bargained a contract, and we asked the golf coaches to lose their golf passes, where they go on the golf course to deal with students. If we're actually that strapped that we're going to ask the golf coaches to lose their budget, we need to lose our attorneys. I mean, these attorneys, again, the fees are ridiculous. The $30,000 we spent on the P cards for taxes, sales tax, and we poo-pooed that by saying to the public, well, we're in the black, so it doesn't really matter. $30,000 on 30 P cards or 54 P cards. So I'm guessing that it's more like $50,000 in sales tax when we have tax ID numbers that we don't have to pay sales tax at all. I know when I just dealt with the fire department, I'm using their tax ID number to purchase T-shirts for the firemen. I mean, that is a real savings, $50,000, $30,000, and we talk about golf passes. Please, get it under control.
Thank you. Ms. Cruz.
Yes. Perhaps this is finally the time when you can specify the line items of the budget that allow for spending on catered food for meetings of District 150 employees, mostly administrators. No one around this horseshoe has ever responded to our complaints about over $130,000 spent on food. We would really like to hear your justification for spending money, education fund money, so foolishly. The only response we ever heard was, "We are in the black." It turns out that the color was probably gray, which has recently turned to red. Where is food hidden in this new budget? We certainly have yet to learn how P-card expenditures fit into line items of the budget. Cardholders seem to buy what they want when they want it. When, if ever, do cardholders receive a message that all the money for a particular line item has been spent? The P-card expenditures are certainly nowhere to be found on your website, yet you have criticized those of us who write FOIAs to obtain this information, which otherwise would be a big secret from taxpayers. Have you ever asked Dr. Lathan to justify the millions of dollars spent on computer software programs? Can any of you justify spending $325,000 on Rosetta Stone, a program for which there is no specified curriculum at any school? I'll speak to that next week, month. I know I tell these stories all to everyone with whom I strike up conversations in doctors' offices, at Walmart. People are generally stunned by the information. I know you feel justified in spending over $166,000 on all aspects of the Charter Oak investigation. Others do not share your opinion.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on the budget hearing? Then I would entertain a motion to close the hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Whitmire?
Aye.
Mrs. Cassett?
Aye.
Mrs. Butler?
Aye.
Mrs. Patel?
Aye.
Mrs. Ross?
Aye.
Mr. Corey?
Aye.
Mrs. Crockland?
Aye.
As mentioned earlier, we have a guest with us this evening, Robert Johnson from the Peoria Park District, and he just joined us. So, thank you and welcome. All right, returning to the public comment period, Mary Beth Cunningham is our next speaker.
Thank you. I'm usually kind of, I guess, regimented in the direction that I go, but I have so many things that I want to address tonight. Not a lot of new things, but just things that I need to say out loud rather than emails and all that kind of stuff. One of them is I want people to, number one, if you're not aware of it, be aware of it. And number two, for those who are aware of it and in charge of making a change or voting on it, to seriously reconsider handing out a 40 or 50% grade to people who write their name on a piece of paper and turn it in. I've heard it from students that I work with, clients that I've worked with. I've heard it from staff members and teachers and administrators and all that kind of stuff. It's poor practice. I don't get 50% of my pay if I just show up to work and don't do anything. We're not teaching any type of accountability or academics by handing out grades. So there's that. I'm glad that Mr. Knapp talked about the expenditures of busing. This is something that I've talked to Mr. Cloyd about. I think I've talked to Ms. Patel about. In the past, busing since the 60s, at least to my knowledge, has been evidenced to be detrimental to education and academics for kids, all students, the students who are bused, the students who are at the neighborhood schools sharing this space with students who are bused. As a student who went to Roosevelt Magnet School, when you had to audition to be in it and all that stuff, I had a great experience there. I had a common goal with all of my classmates. We had a lot of activities together. We had our own kind of camaraderie and community, but currently, I would say a strong majority of our schools are operating as magnet schools without that common goal. I can tell you my own personal experience. As much as I enjoyed my experience at Roosevelt, 45 minutes down to Roosevelt, 45 minutes home from Roosevelt, I was home at 5 o'clock. That's assuming we didn't have a dance recital, choir, any other type of event, and that was when my parents were driving me, and my parents, I mean, that wasn't often that I was taking a bus, so it would have taken longer. I didn't know a lot of the neighborhood kids in my neighborhood. The ones that I did know already had friends that went to the schools that was in our neighborhood. Keller Lindbergh was our neighborhood school. It was tough. I didn't have any friends besides the ones I went to Roosevelt with, and they were dispersed all throughout the city, and it's tough to hang out with your friends and go to ice cream socials and do all these other things when nobody lives near each other. That social element, and now I'm talking as a mental health therapist who specializes in that age group, that social element, I mean, I'm not traumatized by anything. It worked out pretty well, but that social element is very, very important in academics. It's very important in future success of a student. It's very important in the vocations that people choose, and it can be a huge crash and burn if it's not seriously considered and well thought out. So along with the busing expenses, we need to take into account that since the 60s, since Kennedy started talking busing up, all the research has shown that it's not good for kids. So when I hear our horseshoe say and our superintendent say that this is us being mad that those kids are at our schools. I am mad for those kids. I am mad for all of the kids because they're suffering because of this, because it doesn't work, and it's been proven time and time and time again to not work, and I'd like to have whatever evidence it is that people are going by to continue to do the portables and to bus kids and spend all that money to do that and not have any type of community pride. It's hard. And there are some kids who do very, very well with it. I did. But the strong majority of kids, it's tough for. The last thing I want to talk about is the IEPs. I'm hearing a lot of parents talking about how their students' IEPs have been discontinued for next year. They're trying to say, oh, we don't need this next year. This is something that's been in the works for a long time. I want to kind of address that the percentage of students receiving IEPs have decreased in our formerly high-achieving schools, Lindbergh, Keller, Charter Oak, Northmore, to name a few. Each of these schools have programming specific to accommodating students with a variety of mild to severe learning needs. The drop in IEPs is very drastic at some schools, see Lindbergh specifically, even when the special ed programs have not been eliminated or modified. There's no reason for such drastic drops in IEP services, especially when those drops occurred in a one-year period from 2012 to 2013. No reason for it. A child who needs an IEP will not perform to capacity without the accommodations. And this is the entire purpose behind an IEP. And again, this is not fair to our students who were here to help. So that's the things that I needed to talk about today.
Thank you. Savino Sierra.
I live at 1708 South Stanley. You know, I tell it like it is. Here, the city council, either one. Excuse me. And I'd like to just tell you, I oppose that $50,000 for the elite program. That's a hasn't been as good as you try. You people try to talk it up, and because you might do all right at the school, but when they get out on the street, it's like a lot of young kids. You don't know how they act when they get away from school and what have you, and strong against that of spending that money. It isn't worth it. And it should be the teachers in the teaching at school that they're the ones that should teach them a few things, social skills, and get away from that damn sex education and teach this other stuff that's going to help them in life, because all you're doing is you're exciting these young people, and they won't listen to you no matter what you tell them. And so think about that. You people don't listen to your elders anyway, but that's all right. This is why this society is going to hell. Also,
Mr. Sierra,
you haven't...
Mr. Sierra.
What?
As a matter of just decorum in this room, could you please clean up your language?
That word is in the dictionary.
I don't care what dictionary it's in. Last meeting, you used several terms which were inappropriate for a public meeting. And I'm going to ask you to refrain from doing that, or we'll ask you to
say
that.
Okay, let me finish.
Do you understand, sir? Did you get it?
I'll think about it. But
you think about it, and you're going to sit down.
Just a minute. Let me finish.
No, you're going to sit down if you don't clean up your language. You did
all
it
right,
four times last time.
Okay.
I'll argue with you all 5 minutes and use all of your time. So you need to understand that.
No, because I want to remind you people that the cement work at Peoria High isn't complete, you know, and some of the other repairs that should be done at the other physical plants are going by the wayside. And so this is why I've recommended to the superintendent that she should resign. And I'll refrain from using those words that are in the dictionary, okay? Because I just want to close with, we had a late Bishop Shalarman here that he wrote books on Mexico, and he said, that's the only place where you find a gentleman in rags. And so think that over, too. And the discipline is still bad in our schools. All of the three high schools, not just Manual, Central, Richwood's too, you know. You should take advantage and study how the parochial schools run their schools. That's not just Catholic, that's Lutheran, Jewish, all of those private schools, how they manage to teach their students not just what they have to know to get ahead, but they teach them the social studies and what have you. So with that, I'm going to see you at the polls.
Sharon Cruz.
Almost nothing or no one from my birth through high school prepared me to live in a world with black people in it. Yet, for what I firmly believe to be a God-ordained choice for me, I requested my first teaching job at Roosevelt Junior High, which was then over 90% filled with black students. I am not colorblind, because for 7 years, those young people taught me to see the world through their black eyes. I came to Manual in 1969 with its first freshman class. Over four decades of former students are still in my life and my family and influence my thinking. On WEK, Dr. Lathan, you stated that board members received phone calls asking why those children were being bused to Charter Oak. I also react when I hear negative racial comments using words such as those people or the pronouns they or them without an antecedent to identify who they are. However, doesn't throwing this tidbit of information out without further explanation make you also guilty of speech meant publicly to cast aspersions on all those parents to whom you have done enough harm for 1 year? How many board members told you about these phone calls, and how many did they receive? Why is this your story to tell secondhand on TV? If race is an issue, and it probably will be for longer than I had hoped, then this is the place for the discussion. I have believed that District 150 could benefit from and should have a black superintendent. I know I'm asking for that which is probably impossible, but it is best for District 150 children, black and white, to have a superintendent with the least racial baggage, someone that can teach young people not to think of themselves as victims. A superintendent, black or white, has enough on his or her plate to provide all children with the right racial environment without spending some time fighting battles about their own personal battles about race and gender. Dr. Lathan, you failed to acknowledge your own errors in the Charter Oak and Lindbergh situation. Change only works when you prepare people for change. Your bombshell approach isn't working to the benefit of District 150. Also, why assume race as an issue? Charter Oak was already well integrated. I do believe John Witterauer may have been your one hope at making those new students welcome. You blew that. I do not find it difficult to believe that your disagreements with John included his unwillingness to use a watered-down reading program to accommodate the inner-city students. My question is, how many inner-city schools are using below-standard reading programs and why? Below standard expectations seem to be typical of some 150 schools.
I'm sorry, this is really getting incendiary.
The underlying assumption seems to be that inner city schools have so many strikes against them that they cannot be expected to adhere.
Ma'am. Mr. Cloy, point of order.
Yes, ma'am. Would you care to amplify that?
I don't get to finish.
Racism's a really loaded word. If there are going to be accusations of racism and you're going to stand here and unanswered accusations against our administrators across the district in several schools,
Laura, please. I have at least two and a half more minutes to go. And maybe I'll explain some things before I get to the end, because I'm definitely not race baiting. Do I get to finish or not?
You can continue, and let's make sure that she has sufficient time here.
But I would like to make the point that you are hurting our teachers and administrators by what you're saying, and I do not think this is the appropriate forum.
Well, we'll FOIA some information. Someone else spoke to this issue already. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get back to the speaking.
My heart is in. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. I realized I was going to tread, but I didn't know. All right. I'm especially
shocked. As offensive as your comments may be to some people, you have the right to make them. So.
Thank you. And I certainly.
Mr. Eisenhammer, would you care to comment here?
No, I just wanted to let her finish.
I am especially shocked when black administrators do not understand that lowering standards is an admission of such racially biased thinking. And don't make the parents the scapegoat. You set the standards, and parents will have to conform. A couple of years of no-nonsense standards and consequences would do wonders to prove to all of you that most kids will behave when they know they have no choice. Young people should experience consequences which should be inconvenient or harsh enough to change behaviors. One of my former students, now a teacher, just put this note from her student on Facebook. You're so hard on people because you care. Other teachers care too, but if they don't get on their students about what they have done, it won't work. I love you and always will. No matter how much you make me mad, I still will. My former student gets it, and her student gets it. Why don't you? District 150 has eliminated summer school and night school, two very important ways of holding students responsible for their failures. Success achieved from do-overs often leads to real success that builds self-esteem. Giving kids unearned grades doesn't make them feel good about themselves. Inflated grades and unearned higher graduation rates do not lead to meaningful jobs or success in college. My first principal, Buck Smith, taught us to be fair, firm, and friendly. That motto served me well. Whoopi Goldberg recently offered school administrators some good advice. She said, I know it's old school, but if you tell kids something is not okay and you don't follow through, your word doesn't mean jack. Board members, you aren't asking the right questions or people to learn the truth, and it's your job to see that policy is followed. I am hurt if anybody misunderstood anything I said about race, because there is nothing on this earth that is more important to me than race relations, and I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. I have biological, part of my family is black. My whole life is filled with black young people who have meant more to me than anything in this whole world. So please do not accuse me of being racially insensitive. That's the last thing on earth you can accuse me of.
Thank you. Terry Knapp.
Yes, and this is just pathetic. You know, Mr. Sierra gets up here and gets criticized for using the word hell. Ms. Patel has used words more seriously than that. She's never been admonished. I've been called by board members from this dais, you know, and I won't repeat the words, but profanities, unbelievably worse than hell. And, you know, I'm just saying it's when board members can use words that the public can't use, it's just ridiculous. The power of the chair. Sit down when you speak. You remember that one? You know,
sir, would you direct your comments to something?
I'll say what I want to say, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, don't interrupt me, please.
I'll interrupt if I
care
to.
Yeah, I know you. I know you will. You do that quite often.
Successfully,
Sharon Carratt and Herschel Hanna left this district as soon as Dr. Lathan got here. They should be the superintendents. One of those two people should be the superintendent in this district. And we should get on board and get somebody who knows something about this community and doesn't know that, you know, Mr. Kinney, who served 4 years, gets a plaque up at Central. Are you kidding me? That's unbelievable. We got people 30, 40 years in this district that she doesn't even know that they can't get anything, can't get any recognition. And Mr. Kinney, who's never even worked here other than a part-time person in an interim position who spent his whole life at IVC, I like Mr. Kinney. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Kinney, but he doesn't deserve a plaque up at Central. I'm sorry about that. That's just my opinion. I want to say something about this this new summer camp we have, which displaced summer school. I have an experience with probably the most significant basketball player in Peoria, Illinois, that's ever passed through here. I took him to a Northwestern football game. The black counselor at Northwestern took him and his mother over to Welsh Ryan Arena and proceeded to tell the young man that his grades were deplorable. I put him in summer school twice. I put him in night school once, and he changed his grades from D's and F's to B's, okay? And then he went, because of the core classes, he went on and took the ACT test 4 times at my expense. And I'm glad I did that, because he made it into Purdue by this much. He beat Illinois 8 straight times, he and another one of my former players. He went on and played at Argentina until last year. He's a professional in Argentina. He came back to Purdue to finish his degree. Now, if he hadn't been able to go to summer school, he would never have gone on to Purdue. He would never have been able to change those grades. Summer camp be darned. Get summer school back here. Get year-round school back here. Summer school was done away by Dr. Lathan. That's who did away with it. Thank you.
Elaine Hopkins.
Hello. I'm here speaking for someone else who's unable to be here. Carrie Alms is a neighborhood activist who lives on the near north side of Peoria. She asked me to present this information to you since she could not be here tonight because of another speaking engagement. She also asked me to present some written materials to the board, which I will do.
Could you move the microphone a little bit?
Yeah,
it's really hard to hear you.
Can you hear me better?
That's
how's
better.
That?
Thank you.
I'm speaking for Carrie Alms. She asked me to speak because she couldn't be here tonight. Carrie's issue is the proposed Taft Home residents' move to Greeley School, which is said to include an early learning center for young children. Carrie says there's a problem in that a previously existing facility, a halfway house for released prison inmates, is only 80 feet from Greeley. It should be 500 feet if any child sex offender is sent to that facility. Carrie believes, there is some confusion concerning a letter from Dave Kinney endorsing the Greeley project. She believes he was told of this conflict, but may have forgotten about it and then wrote a letter, which I will give to you, endorsing it. I believe the district, based on what Carrie told me, should look into this matter and study the documents that Carrie asked me to present to you. And I'll give you the documents. Thank you.
Thank you. Our final speaker.
I'm going to ask for something very special for one moment. May I just have one moment? Because I just realized when I made the statement about seeing things through black eyes, you may have misunderstood me and that I'm not colorblind. I love black. I mean, I've spent my life enjoying black culture.
I know.
And I just want you to understand that I did not mean anything about being
I'm not colorblind because I love seeing black children in my life, is what I meant to say.
I understand it. Thank you for the clarification. Brenda Wilson.
Hi, I'm Brenda Wilson. I live at 4107 West Rusticola Drive in Peoria. It's really disturbing to be here right now in this state of... It just feels like everyone's against each other, and it shouldn't be this way, because we all care about the kids in the city, and we care about the school district, and we're all passionate about it, and it just... It feels so broken and so miserable to be sitting amidst all this people. It's like the room is filled with hatred. And for 5 years, I've been so happy to be a public school mom, and I've defended it to my neighbors. They're all in private school. Oh, you sent the kids to public school in Peoria? Yeah, and we've had a wonderful experience. We've loved it at Charter Oak. And we've ended it on such a horrible note. The last 6 months have just been painful, watching everything go down with administrative leaves, transfers, retirements, early resignations. Early retirements, and that's disturbing to know that someone would be with any corporation or school district, military, whatever you're retiring from. When people leave early, it should make people question why. And in all this, I'm asking a question, and if you want to take part of my time and answer, I welcome you. Do you guys ever consider doing an exit interview for someone who's a school secretary for 16 years and knows when kids need medication and which bus they ride and when nobody shows to pick them up from school and a substitute teacher's flipping through the Rolodex and she says, oh, Mrs. Wilson, no, don't call the mom right now. She's at work. Call her aunt. Her aunt's with her after school. When somebody's like that in a building and they know where we live and what our addresses are, I mean, I called there as a brand new parent and she knew which kids she knew which children my children would ride the bus with and which bus number. And when somebody like that is holding a building together after the principal gets swooped out, it keeps us normal a little bit. And when somebody like that retires early, like Connie Lowe did at Charter Oak, it should make somebody call her and say, what happened? Why would you walk away after all that time in service? You're going to get less benefits? What good could come from it? It's a group thing. We need that in here. We need to follow Mr. Wetterauer's leadership in here. I really believe that. And seeing Connie Lowe leave and the teachers get transferred, even a PE teacher abruptly resigned. So both of my kids have lost a teacher. They lost the custodian mentor, the secretary that they love, like family, the principal, all in 1 year. And I don't feel comfortable sending him back to Charter Oak in another year of transition, so he's going to Concordia in the fall. And when I was at Concordia just the other day, I learned that there's a second kindergarten class. So this isn't just a Charter Oak problem. It's a city problem. They never have two kindergarten classes there. It's amazing that they have enough to fill two kindergarten classes at a private school. But they have it because people are scared of the school district because people work in a state of fear. People come to work and they're scared that they're going to get transferred or fired. They might not get fired, but they might get transferred into a different position, which ends up being the demise of their career. And then they retire early and don't get the full benefits that they fully well deserve. I know of 16 families at Charter Oak that are leaving District 150. 16. Some of them have 4 kids. That's over a classroom of children at Charter Oak that will no longer be there. It's sad and it's unnecessary. But this is how people feel, and people are scared to talk about it. Please change something. I don't know the answer, but I know that doing an exit interview from a board member, you don't pay them, you're not their bosses, so you can't, you know, it couldn't hurt to call people and say, exactly why did you leave? I'm a substitute teacher, so I'm just in and out, but I've seen principals years ago that left that I thought, why did she go work for Edison? This is a wonderful school. And now things are coming to fruition that it had to do with the state of the administration. She just left gracefully, and it wasn't in the newspaper. And there's lots of people like that. The principal at Notre Dame used to be a principal at D150, and he was awesome. We shouldn't be letting these people go. Please change something.
Thank you. Is there any response to the audience presentations, Dr. Latham?
Yes. Number one, we do conduct exit interviews with staff members, and oftentimes people retire, and people do let the board know and also me know why they leave. We're not sharing that with the public because that is personnel information. It's confidential. But we are going to go there as it relates to race. How dare you continue on a monthly basis to bring up and try to throw in our faces, it's my face, as an African-American, that race does not matter. We have tried, and I'm going to finish because you got back up twice, to be politically correct. You say you want to talk about race. Let's talk about race. When you use terms like those students or say that busing does not work, and it started in the 60s when we were having issues, and you continue in 2014 to talk about, you can sit down because you will not be recognized, to say busing doesn't work or that race is not an issue, and you make comments that you make on a continuous basis, it is offensive. We're tired of hearing that busing doesn't work, that I don't see race, or my heart bleeds for race. You can never, and you will never know what an African American or any other minority experiences unless you've been in that position. No, let me finish, because you had a chance to finish. I am tired of people dancing around issues. We have 14,000 students in our district. All 14,000 count. I don't care what they look like. We have high expectations. If we did not, we would not be implementing AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination. We would not have increased the number of advanced placement courses. Board members, I believe you received a report about two weeks ago that shows we have increased the number of advanced placement offerings at all three of our high schools in the past several years. I believe we went from 328 to 768 tests that were administered this year. So let's talk about high expectations. International Baccalaureate. Go compare District 150 to other urban school districts. Take a look and see where International Baccalaureate programs sit in neighborhoods. When we brought in International Baccalaureate and we're in the pre-authorization phase, we strategically placed it across the entire district, South Region, Central Region, and the Northern Region, because we do have high expectations for every child in our school district, every child. I think some of us are getting it confused because you're worried about people coming into the neighborhood. People don't want to be there because they're not welcome anyway, because you keep talking about what's not working. We are trying to work. We have listened to you over and over again. We don't listen because we won't change. We're not making an administrative change. Why don't we, and I extended the olive branch about 2 months ago. I said, let the healing begin. We need to bring closure and move forward. Some of you don't want to move forward. You continuously come up and say disrespectful things, but let it be known. We're moving forward in this district. You might want to check the data to find out for sure. If you're basing it only on the ISAT information, you're wrong. NWA shows, Dibble shows, we have made tremendous gains academically. We do not have a watered-down reading program. The problem is we're teaching all children to read and all, giving every child access to a quality education, and I think that scares people, but I'm all for it as a District 150 parent and as a District 150 employee and as a City of Peoria resident. I'm saying we're moving forward. To my staff, I thank you. I know it's hard to sit down and listen to this. I said it at the last meeting. Stay strong. As it relates to special education, the state told us we had more students when I arrived here over-identified as special education. Maureen, Mr. Langhoff, what was that percent then back in 2010?
In 2007
and
2010, it was between
23 and 25%. What are we? Where are we at now?
18 and 19.
And what is the state?
Supposed
to be closer, so we still have a lot of work to do. So we've put programs in place. We're going to keep moving forward. It's not my way or the highway. It's the way of the children. If you didn't understand that by watching a specialized graduation program tonight for one child, because it's about every child in our district, then you don't want to work with us. You say you feel tension, you feel hostile. No, we're just tired of people being disrespectful to these seven people that give up their time free of charge, and people think that they don't listen, that they don't hold me accountable, and all those staff members, you're really confused. But you're not privy to confidential information and personnel information, and you will not be privy to it. But here's the thing. I'm still ready to meet you halfway. I'm going to keep working, but you're not going to continue to be disrespectful and not be called on the carpet. Race does matter, and race is an issue in our city and still in our country. Have a good night. Can I get a hand?
Ms. Patel.
I would like to talk about neighborhood schools, busing, density, and the history of the city of Peoria, because we talk about this all the time, and there is a purely mathematical discussion we need to have, which is that up in Edgewild, you have 2 to 3 housing units per acre. On the south side, you have 12 to 24 housing units per acre in the detached homes, up to 70 in apartment buildings. This is my awesome map. You can tell I got an A in art. This is approximately the boundaries of Peoria during the baby boom in 1960. This is the District 150 boundary today. In the 60s, we had 28,000 students, twice the number of students, with the same city population of close to 120,000 in half the area. So if you would like neighborhood schools, the problem is in the 60s, we were in this little space with the same number of people, and two-thirds of these households had K-12 children during the baby boom. Today, one-third of households have K-12 children, and we're spread out over almost twice the area. This is not an issue we can solve by returning to K-8 schools because the children are so much more spread out. This is an issue of consumer choice and consumers choosing to live in large houses, twice the square footage, as was average in 1950, choosing to live in large houses on large lots with big yards. That is a perfectly acceptable choice, but we do make a trade-off towards a car-centric city and away from a pedestrian and bike-friendly city when we choose larger houses that are more spread out. It is not going to be possible with the density in North Peoria to return to a non-bused neighborhood school. We will have to drastically increase the density within District 150's boundaries. It's at something like 2,500 people per square mile. It would need to be around 5,000 people per square mile with the same proportion of children to make neighborhood schools realistic in terms of density and demography.
Thank you for that. Anyone else care to comment? I would also add that we do have our own chief legal officer, Rick Redberg, who will be joining us, I believe, July 1st. And I think that will address some of the issues that were raised as well. Anything else? All right, thank you. We'll move on then to information items. Item number one is the board meeting structure, and I believe, Ms. Wolfmeyer, this is something that you brought up as a discussion item last time, and would you like to start out with this?
This is just for tonight, an ongoing discussion.